Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Out in the summertime city, ain't it pretty? There's so much to tie you down.
We're talking about heat on the Brian Lehrer Show today. By the way, special shout out to Eric on Twitter, who tweets a unified title for today's heat special: How I Stop Worrying and Learn to Love the Bomb. B-A-L-M. Know your cultural history. So far in today's conversation about heat, we've been very practical. What does heat do to your body? What will be the effect of climate change on our cultures? So we end with a bit of a philosophical question. How do you represent heat on camera? As abstract as that question sounds, we actually have someone here who has answers and some things to show us. James Estrin is longtime New York Times photographer at home and abroad and co-founder of their Brilliant Lens blog. He has picked some of his favorite photos that represent heat and is here to talk about the challenges that come along with capturing heat and being a photographer in scorching conditions. Jim, welcome back to the show. Thanks for doing another one of these photography on the radio segments with us.
Thanks, Brian. Happy to be here.
And listeners, as we've been saying, you'll want to go to our website right now and follow along so you can see the photos as we discuss them. We have heat-related imagery on our webpage. Go to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show if you want to follow along as we talk to James Estrin. And don't worry, we will also describe them for those of you just listening. But if you're near a computer or phone, go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, find the slideshow, and follow along visually. Jim, before we talk about a specific photo to give people time to get there, I want to talk about some of the challenges that come from trying to capture heat in a photo. In general, you told us that weather photos are the bread and butter of news photography, but that means it's really easy to just find yourself taking the same photo over and over. So how do you keep things fresh?
Well, that really is a challenge, particularly after 30 years of doing this on the streets of New York. You just pass up the photos you've taken before. You look for different ways of representing heat, of showing the effect on people.
And people is the key?
Yeah, absolutely. The heat without people isn't really a photograph unless you go for cooking an egg on a hot sidewalk.
Can you really do that? Have you ever photographed anyone doing that or trying and failing?
I fortunately have not done that, but I've seen other people's photos of it, and I saw one particularly sad attempt by someone who'll go nameless who did it in a frying pan, which does not work, by the way, on a hot sidewalk.
If you do it right on the sidewalk, the five-second rule does not apply, right?
I've never heard of anyone who ate one.
Let's talk about the photo at the top of our page. And for those of you following along, a version of the classic cooling off outdoors photo. But this is a wading pool set up on the sidewalk on 134th Street in the Bronx. One of the cool things about this photo is that there's everyone, young and old, taking part. And I guess when it's hot out, it doesn't matter if you're 5 or if you're 85. If there's a wading pool, you're going to jump in it. Want to talk about why you like this photo?
Yeah, it's actually one of my favorites. This was a day, I think it was like the second or third day of 100-degree heat in New York. And I'm driving around trying to show the effect and the difficulty and how people are coping. And so one of the places I really like to go is the South Bronx. There's more people on the street and less people inside in the air conditioning. And I was just driving by, saw the pool on the sidewalk, and you had this great moment of serendipity where you look up and say, thank you, and just got out and took the picture. I drove by there recently, and it looks pretty much the same.
1999, really hot year. How do you photograph July 2014 to represent, you know, it actually hasn't been that hot this year?
Well, there are certain tricks of making things look a little hotter or a little cooler than they are. So often you'll get an assignment and saying, well, it's the hottest, you know, it's hot early in the year. So it's March, but it's maybe 68 degrees. So to find people who look hot, you look for young people. They're more likely to take their shirt off, to find people who look cold when it's not that cold. You look for old people in the park. When it's 85 degrees, they'll have a winter coat on. And when it's 60 degrees, there'll be someone in Washington Square Park without a shirt on.
Absolutely. And are kid photo subjects becoming harder to find because they're inside playing video games rather than getting out on the street and adapting in the ways you just described?
Oh, yeah. It's actually much more difficult to take good street photos in New York, good slice-of-life photos. There's fewer people on the street, living on the street, and the ones that are on the street are on their iPhone. So, you know, 20 years ago, there were just a lot more children on the street in the summer, and now there's many fewer.
And listeners, again, and if you're just joining us, if you want to follow along and look at some of these heat photos taken by lens blogger James Estrin of the New York Times, follow along on our webpage as we discuss some of these images. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. It's that easy, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Join a lot of people there looking at these photos. Next photo is from the 2003 blackout inside a building where a woman was helping her elderly neighbor up the stairs. And do I gather you took this in total darkness?
Almost total darkness. There was windows at the end of the stairs, so that's why there's some light there. But but the stairs overall were dark. And
I see her holding. I see the woman holding a flashlight.
Yes. Well, she was helping this old man up the stairs, and there's, you know, there's no electricity, means there's no elevators, and so he had to walk up. I think it was 14 flights of stairs to get to his apartment. I mean, after, you know, at first when you go out and do hot weather, you're looking for how people are coping. But by the third day of a major heat wave, it starts having a news story, the bad effects that heat are having on people, on their health. And it's not uncommon to have outages, and people in public housing suffer greatly, particularly older people, without air conditioning.
And the caption refers to Plinio Rodriguez, 80, getting assistance, walking up to his 12th-floor apartment from Sandra Gonzalez, who was visiting a friend, and that was, 11 years ago. He looks a little freaked out, actually, walking up those steps. And we hear those pleas from officials during blackouts to check on your elderly neighbors. So is the journalistic context here that you set out to take a photo that put a story or an image to that phenomenon?
Yes. I was looking for, you know, the lights were out. I went to these projects, and you know, what is the news? The news is people actually suffering, and sometimes people even dying, you know, in their hot apartments without air conditioning. And
they say heat waves are the most deadly form of weather emergency. We may think of it as more like hurricanes and tornadoes and things like that, but numerically it's heat waves.
It is, and people are less alarmed about it and pay less attention to it.
Let's talk about the next two photos, which I guess we can describe as how to make fans interesting. Want to describe these fans?
Yes. Well, this is the giant 30-foot fan. they're two separate photos. And if you don't have air conditioning, fans are critical. So, again, looking at what is the news effect of heat after a few days, I went to an emergency room, I believe at Maimonides Hospital.
Right.
I got permission to go in. And their emergency room was completely overcrowded with people, you know, suffering from the heat, people in heat stroke, people who are dehydrated. And it's a way of emphasizing the fan. So I'm a little closer to the fan so you see it.
Right. And, of course, the context of this is anything but funny. As you say, it's the Maimonides Hospital emergency room, and you can see two people in the shot. The main one identified there as Nina Messina being treated for heat exhaustion after she fainted in her son's arms while walking on the street, and she's in a bed, and it looks like she's got a wet cloth of some kind that she's putting on her forehead. But you're taking this from behind this giant fan, which takes up about 60% of the shot. So you're really getting a sense of how a fan is used in a hospital emergency room. Did they not have air conditioning?
Not really. It was pretty hot. I don't remember if there was air conditioning or not, but I remember it was quite hot there. quite warm. And in the second photo, they were giving out fans to elderly people on the Upper East Side. And this is a woman reacting with great pleasure the first time turning on the fan in her apartment. She had been in her apartment without a fan for several weeks.
Yes, and here the fan takes up about the left third of the shot. But again, you're shooting the fan from behind, so you can also see the face of the person being cooled by the fan. They're very cool.
Thank you.
And you also told us that the kinds of photos that you're taking on day one of a heat wave are very different from day three. I guess that relates to what you said a minute ago about how the medical emergency progresses.
Yeah, on the first day, it's people just enjoying themselves, cooling off slightly, you know, being in that sidewalk pool, being sprayed on the sidewalk, going to the pool, going to the beach. You know, what do we do? The human reaction, the heat. And those are more fun. They're lighter photos generally.
So do you have any tips for people taking photos of heat, interesting things to look for, other advice for where to head or what kinds of angles to explore, not to cede your competition, of course?
Well, absolutely. First off, I'd say it doesn't matter what camera you use. Plenty of great photographers are using iPhones. Look.
You got to get pretty close, though.
Well, you do, but getting close is good. You have to be close to take good photographs. And I'd look for life. And don't just, you know, walk by, take a quick snap. You have to work it. Take several photographs. Take a moment to compose. Your strongest compositional tools are your feet. You can move left. You can move right. You can go closer. You can kneel down. And there's, you know, again, there's plenty of people taking great street photos with smartphones. For example, Ruddy Roy or Ben Lowy or Carlos Ortiz. But I think the main thing is to be purposeful, to think exactly about what you're putting in that square frame and think that you control that. It's like a blank canvas, and it's a series of decisions that'll make this photograph. So you have to go out and find things and then make those decisions.
I like the one that's the next one in the sequence, which is a pretty dark shot of a guy on the 14th Street platform at the Lexington Avenue subway station, 14th and Lex. I guess that would be Union Square, wouldn't it? Where you wrote that some passengers boarded the trains just to feel the air conditioning. And here's a guy waiting for a train. He obviously can't wait for this train to come, and he's wiping the sweat off of his brow. And, as people used to use movie theaters, subway cars as cooling centers.
Which is so strange, because I remember going down to subways to photograph how people are suffering. That was always a wonderful thing, a subway car or a subway station.
Well, and
not
what a duality.
But it was wonderful for the photographer.
Right. And what a duality, because the platforms can still be some of the hottest spots in the city as you're waiting for that over-air-conditioned train.
Absolutely. But, you know, I got to tell you, I really enjoy getting into the subway cars now when it's hot.
Is it possible to still take an interesting photo of someone in a fire hydrant stream?
Wow, that's a little hard to be honest. It is possible. The challenge is to take photos that don't look like the million other photos of that. It's the classic, the well-worn cliche. It's the easiest thing to go out and do. So you can take an interesting photograph of everything, anything at all. So I think it's possible, but you have to work hard. But, you know,
The one like that, I just want to point out to people that the one like that, which is the second to last in the sequence on our site, which is the example we have of a fire hydrant spray, James Estrin shot. It looks like you worked hard by waiting until the nighttime, for one thing, because this is a nighttime shot, and the street looks pretty flooded, and you've got the, some glow from street lights there and some glow from building lights and reflections off the water. So you've got a lot of stuff going on other than a spray and kids in bathing suits.
Well, you know, the whole key to photographing is to be out there. You have to spend the time. You have to, for me, in my case, it's drive around. You have to be out there to find things that are interesting happening. This was late at night. I took one last drive through after spending all day and having sent in photographs. And it was different. You know, I shot it, and it was very hot still. And it was something I hadn't photographed before. So this time, these hydrants were okay for me.
Can cameras pick up heat waves at all, or is that too visually subtle?
Actually, with a very long lens, with very, very hot pavement, at times it can pick it up. But I don't think that you need that necessarily to show heat. I think that there are many different ways of showing heat. And beyond that and beyond the fried egg on the sidewalk, I think it's how...
You say you would get that with a long lens? Like shooting a long lens, you would, you know, to shoot something close up from a distance?
Yes. It compresses, and so there are situations where you can find that. But you know, in all my years, I've never made a good photo of that. It doesn't happen commonly.
Oh, and I like the shot from Orchard Beach, or at Orchard Beach, in the sequence that we have up of your stuff. The dateline was July 16th, 2006. Caption: on a very hot day at Orchard Beach, William Harrison and his fiancée Gloria Marr sat in the water to keep cold. But what people will only realize if they stop to think about it is that you went out in the water. You must have been up to your waist in order to take the shot looking back at people toward the beach.
I was indeed, and I didn't have shorts on. I remember I had long pants on, and I just took off my shoes and went out there because it was a photo that needed taking. First, I photographed from the rear, and then I photographed from the front, and, you know, it was a New York slice of life that I just had to capture.
James Estrin does the wonderful lens blog for the New York Times. Thanks a lot for talking about your heat shots.
My pleasure, Brian.
From this mess that we made, it's too hot, lady. Gotta run for shelter, gotta run for shade. It's too hot, so.